It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Secretary of Defense Ash Carter announced last week that the U.S. military will be opening combat roles to women without exception. But the Marine Corps says allowing women in the military will lower effectiveness. Do the Marines have a point? Are women physically capable of performing the same tasks as men under combat conditions? Dr. Caitlin Allison is an assistant professor within the Department of Sports Medicine and Nutrition at the University of Pittsburgh, and she has looked into this question, running a series of experiments testing the difference between male and female soldiers. She joins us now in studio. Caitlin Allison, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much for having me.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at esspgh. What do you think? Are women physically capable of performing the same tasks as men under combat conditions? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Caitlin Allison, walk us through the experiments that you ran and the conclusions that you came to.
Sure. So specific to the Marine Corps effort, our research supported the United States Marine Corps Ground Combat Element Integrated Task Force. And the purpose of this task force was to study the effect of the integration of women into ground combat units. So it was a larger effort that was supported by several different research agencies, including the RAND Corporation, Center for Naval Analysis, Naval Health Research Center. But the University of Pittsburgh's research to support this aimed to assess body composition, aerobic fitness, power, strength, balance, jumping and landing strategies, flexibility, nutrition characteristics, and previous injury history of male and female Marines who volunteered for the task force. Another aim was to track and characterize injuries that occurred during the task force, and then also to assess which characteristics that were related to the demands of ground combat operations.
Now, in your musculoskeletal, biomechanical, and physiological gender differences in U.S. military study, you and your colleagues noted female soldiers tended to have higher flexibility and balance than male soldiers. What are the battlefield advantages of these characteristics?
Sure. So across that study, as well as the Marine study, we did find that female Marines and soldiers had better flexibility and better balance than male soldiers. So an adequate amount of flexibility is beneficial because low flexibility in the major joints increases the risk for injury. On the other hand, too much flexibility or hypermobility also increases risk for injury. So there's an optimal range that is good for military personnel. For balance plays a really important role in tactical tasks because it provides a stable base of support and enhances overall joint stability, especially with unstable surfaces. A lot of times in the military, the environment is not optimal, so that's really important. Also for providing a base of support when there's unexpected perturbations. And also for injury risk, individuals with poor balance tend to have an increased risk for ankle injuries.
Let's go to the phones. Let's find out what some of our listeners think. 412-246-2002, the number to call. We have Kevin from the South Side on the phone. Kevin, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Dr. Caitlin Allison.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You can ask Dr. Allison how she's doing.
Yeah, Allison, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
I just wanted to comment. I think it's really silly, to paint with such a broad brush here. I know so many women that are so much stronger than I am personally. And I know that's the case in so many situations. So I think to base our ideals based purely on someone's gender is kind of foolish and painting with a way too broad of a brush.
So you're saying, Kevin, women are absolutely capable of performing in physically capable of doing the same, performing the same combat tasks as men?
Yes, without a doubt. I think it's really short-sighted to not acknowledge as much.
And if I can comment, we assessed a very broad range of variables. And even though, on average, males tended to have better strength, better aerobic fitness, better power, there were gender overlaps for every single variable that we assessed. So that meaning that the highest performing female Marines and soldiers performed better than the lower performing men. So there are an overlap of capabilities. So it should be based on individual capability rather than perhaps gender alone.
So, you know, when the Marine Corps, for example, says allowing women in the military will lower effectiveness, what they're concerned about and what your tests focused on was physical capability, that as far as the mental aspects of handling combat, there doesn't seem to be any kind of argument there regarding the capability of women. Am I correct on that?
We did not cover the mental aspect. That's what the other research agencies did cover. So we were purely physiological and physical capabilities.
You noted in the same study that women tended to suffer injury at a higher rate in basic training due to being put through the same kind of training as men when it might not suit them. What about that?
Just so in general, musculoskeletal injuries during training are one of the largest hidden epidemics in the military. So just last year alone, there were 2.2 million injury encounters that affected over 600,000 service members. So that statistic obviously has negative consequences on the individual soldier's health, quality of life, and then also the cost associated with both short-term treatment and loss of duty days, as well as long-term rehabilitation even after retirement. And so that being said, female soldiers do have a higher risk for sustaining injury, especially in the lower extremity, and also have a higher incidence of stress fractures. So again, while our research has demonstrated that females on average possess less absolute strength with the greatest deficiencies in upper body strength, less force generating capacity and less aerobic fitness compared to male soldiers, there are still those higher performing women that possess better strength, power, and aerobic characteristics than the lowest performing men. So there's also research that has shown that women who are strength trained and endurance trained can increase their performance on combat related tasks such as pull-ups. And with proper training, women can reduce the size of the gap of the gender disparity in some of these characteristics. So an effective...
But let me jump in. If women are being injured at a higher rate than men in basic training, does that raise red flags about the combat readiness of women?
Not necessarily. I think training can be enhanced to prevent injury and, again, to help reduce some of those gender disparities in the characteristics where we see on average women have, you know, less upper body strength than men.
You propose changes to the training system to prevent these injuries from occurring.
Some changes to be effective could consider strategies to prevent overtraining in both men and women. Additionally, they could benefit from a needs analysis of occupational requirements as well as an analysis of an individual's strengths and weaknesses. Training can also be based on scientific principles like specificity of training and progressive overload. Our lab director, Dr. Brad Nindel, recently published an article in Military Medicine talking about how these training strategies can help reduce injuries in female military personnel.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Dr. Caitlin Allison. She's an assistant professor within the Department of Sports Medicine and Nutrition at the University of Pittsburgh, looking into the question of whether women are as physically capable of men and can perform at the same level as men in combat situations. And this is, of course, on the heels of the news that the Department of Defense is and the U.S. military is opening up combat roles to women without exception. 412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation. And many people say that it is unfair that females should receive different training than males for the Army and that it could lead to a decrease in effectiveness in the Army. We've heard that from the Marine Corps. What would you say in response, based on what you've learned, your own visceral reaction to this?
So I think not necessarily that females should receive different training, but that training in general should be individualized. We do see that differences in training aren't necessarily purely based on, on characteristics aren't based purely on gender. There are some women that perform much better than men in certain characteristics. So any training should be individualized to the individual strengths and weaknesses and unique injury risk factors that the individual possesses. And so in this case, the program implementation can be a little bit more targeted to enhance performance and reduce injury risk. And in this case, both sexes can meet the occupational standards.
Okay, I just want to clarify this. So you're saying that you're talking about this training can be better targeted? So in other words, some of the same. I mean, when we think of military training, and you know, there's that sort of stereotypical film reel that you roll in your mind of the soldiers kind of stepping through the tires and, you know, getting on the rope and climbing the wall and doing all that stuff. That's the traditional physical test may not necessarily be the best way of measuring both males and females, you're saying, or most efficient way?
If I'm understanding your question, so sort of the typical training that, you know, camaraderie, everyone's doing the same
right.
thing.
This is the way right. we've always done it, but is it the true measure of a person's physical capability?
It may not be. It may need to be more specialized, more operationally and occupationally specific and targeted to the individual's characteristics and injury risk.
Dr. Allison, what was your reaction when you heard that the U.S. government, the U.S. military, was opening combat roles to women without exception? Was it kind of a, less from a clinical standpoint, but just as a woman, did you look at this and say, yeah, of course, why not? Why aren't we doing this? I'm curious what your own reaction was when you heard the news.
Well, I think as we discussed before, it's that the opportunity should be there for anybody who is physically capable to do the job. And as research has shown, women do possess characteristics. Certain women are capable. So if they can meet the standard, then perhaps they should have the opportunity.
Let's go to Jim in Pittsburgh at 412-246-2002. Hi, Jim. You're on with Dr. Caitlin Allison.
Thanks so much for talking about this on the radio.
Of course.
I guess I just had a question about...
Jim, you must be on a cell phone. We're kind of losing you. Can you repeat that, please? We lost Jim. I understand that he mentioned to our producers before he came on the air. He was wondering if there were specific tasks identified in the study that really were or were not suitable for women. I think you're saying there were. Were there specific tasks not suitable for women, Dr. Allison?
Specifically that we studied?
Yes.
I wouldn't say that, you know, there were any that were specifically exclusionary towards women, if from a purely physical standpoint.
Okay. So in answer to Jim's question of if there were specific tasks identified in the study that really were or were not suitable for women. So I guess he's not just asking if they were not suitable, but others that were. Clearly there were tasks that were suitable for women, that women demonstrated in your study they could do just as well as men.
Yes, absolutely.
And you say that sex-specific interventions may better prepare soldiers during training. What would those interventions look like?
Well, since on average women do have less upper body strength, power, and agility, women may benefit from training programs that do focus on those aspects. And also, since women have unique injury risk factors, those should be included. And again, using scientific principles of specificity and progressive overload and things like that.
412-246-2002 is the number to call to join our conversation in the few minutes that we have remaining. Also, our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. So as this gets set to happen, as the U.S. military opens combat roles to women without exception, what the conclusions seem to be that you've come to are that women are absolutely capable and that there shouldn't be any, that the concern, for example, that the Marines have about this, these results should allay any fears that folks might have about this.
So your question is what?
My question is there any reason based on the research that you have done that anybody should have reservations about women in combat, and those that do, are those concerns valid?
There will likely always be questions about the concerns and you know what's the best way to move forward. But I think you know, since there is a lot of research done, I think that there are a lot of lessons learned, and I think paving the way forward for enhancing training and making sure that this is done in the correct way.
Let's take one last question from Joseph in Wilmerding. Hi, Joseph. We've got about a minute here, so go ahead.
Yes. First of all, I would like to say I don't understand why anybody would say no to anybody else fighting for them. Hence, my question would be, the mindset of myself is if someone else is going to fight for me, please go fight because I'd be scared to go fight. So the woman's mindset on wanting to fight, maybe you could enlighten me on to why. Like, why would you want to? Why would anybody want to?
That may be hard to put yourself in the place of someone, as Joseph is saying, but clearly the conclusion we seem to have come to here is that there shouldn't be any hesitation or reservation about women's capability in combat.
Right.
We're talking with Dr. Caitlin Allison. She's an assistant professor within the Department of Sports Medicine and Nutrition at the University of Pittsburgh. She looked into the question of and conducted a series of experiments testing the difference between male and female soldiers. She has joined us here in studio. We unfortunately have run out of time, but Dr. Allison, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up, what one organization can do to end violence against women and ensure all women have the right to vote. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.